We're going to remain here for our special time this morning. We're going to take a look at these verses from the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of the 17th chapter. So grab a Bible if you have one. There's one in front of you if you don't have yours, or keep your bulletin handy. Maybe you can follow along on the blue sheet as well. That might help as we unfold this text. But first, let's pray. Lord Christ, we avail ourselves to you. We pray that you would give us eyes to see in these words, ears to hear in them, minds to receive, and hearts to understand the great gift of love and grace and glory which come through these words for us this day as we remember your transfiguration, Lord Christ, your glory that was shown on that mountain. We pray that your glory would be shown to us today through these words. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Prove it. Have you ever heard somebody say that to you? You make a statement, a comment, and they say to you, prove it. We are a people, especially in this enlightened day and age, who demand proof. We have a website even in our context and generation today that takes hundreds of people hours and thousands of hours dedicated to making sure we get the truth, or that things can be proved or disproved. This morning, I have for us the top 50. It's called the Hot 50. From Snopes.com. You know Snopes.com, don't you? If you don't, you know it now. Snopes.com. Snopes.com. And Snopes dedicates themselves to the truth. You know, there are sometimes that there are stories in the media that aren't exactly true. In fact, I've said before, it's true because it's on the World Wide Web or it's on the internet. But it turns out, I could be wrong, but Snopes isn't. Here's the hot 50 for today, just a few of them. Question, did President Trump announce a $612 credit for deserving Americans? Question, is there a Dasani product that's recalled due to a clear parasite? Question, is 69% of all olive oil fake? Now, I know these are pressing on you. I know this about you. Question, does cooking with aluminum foil put you at risk for Alzheimer's? Question, is President's Day a real holiday? Question, are carjackers using discarded shirts as bait to lure victims? Question, did George Washington have wooden teeth? Question, were chariot wheels found at the bottom of the Red Sea? Question, is there an astronaut carving on ancient Spanish cathedral? Question, did Starbucks place Trump's photo on the floor so every customer has to step on it? Question, does entering your PIN in reverse at an ATM summon the police? You curious? Snopes.com, they'll tell you. Prove it. We hear things all the time. People make brash and bold statements. We read the headlines, and typically we receive those as truth. But how do you know if something is true? Well, sometimes it takes some investigation and some work. In our text today, we have an account of the transfiguration of Jesus. That's Jesus being transformed from something that you would see in a normal human person, being transformed at least partly into his glorious state. The disciples, there were three of them, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. They go up with Jesus onto a mountaintop, and we're not sure what mountain exactly that they're on or where they're at. But all of a sudden, before the disciples, these three, and so it's an eyewitness account, that always helps with truth, that always helps when we ask for proof. There's an eyewitness account of Jesus transforming into at least partial glory. In fact, it is so shocking to these disciples. And then they see Elijah and Moses. It's so shocking that they fall down before Jesus, whether it's in fear or in true awe of the glory of Christ that they're seeing. They fall down before him. And so the transfiguration is an historical account of the transforming of the person of Jesus to shine the glory of God upon him. What does the transfiguration prove? Because I think there's proof in the transfiguration. It's an eyewitness account. We are receiving it by faith, and that these three are telling the truth. And so what does the transfiguration prove? Sometimes we just smooth over the transfiguration. We don't spend any time here. It happens between, or at least we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday between Epiphany and Lent, and we just kind of miss it. But I want to suggest to you that the transfiguration proves three things. Number one, it proves Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Christ, that is the Messiah. Christ is Greek, and it just means Messiah in Hebrew. So in Matthew chapter 16, the chapter that precedes this, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then there are a bunch of answers. Well, some people say you are John the Baptist. Some people say you are Elijah. Some people say that you're the prophet that they're expecting. But then Simon Peter makes a declaration of the messianic nature and purpose of Jesus. Jesus turns the question around to the disciples and says, instead of who do people say that I am, who do you say that I am? And every human person will have to answer that specific question. Who do you say Jesus is? And Peter makes this declaration. Simon Peter answered in Matthew 16:16 about Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now everyone knew that Jesus was special. Maybe he was John the Baptist. Everyone knew that maybe Jesus was Elijah. Maybe they knew that Jesus was another prophet or prophet-like person, like Jeremiah or another of the prophets. But Peter knew more. Peter had seen the life of Jesus. He had spent time with Jesus. He had seen Jesus perform miraculous works, works that had never been shown before, and works that have rarely been seen since. And so Jesus, led by the Spirit, says, "No, Jesus, you are much more than Elijah. You are much more than John the Baptist. You are much more than a prophet like Jeremiah. Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Isn't it interesting then? It wasn't too much longer, probably within a few days, that Peter and James and John went to the mountain, and Peter's declaration was confirmed in the transfiguration of Jesus. Here now, Peter, James, and John saw not only Jesus transform into glory, making proof that he's the Messiah, but he also sees Elijah there. Okay, well, I guess Jesus can't be Elijah. Oh, wait, here's Moses. I guess Jesus can't be Moses or a prophet like Moses. No, Jesus is the Messiah. And this was the proof that Peter needed to see to pass on to us today. Number two, the transfiguration proves Jesus' prediction about himself is true. You see, I'm suggesting to you that the Transfiguration is in the first century like our Snopes.com is today. That this is the place we go to for proof of Jesus' proclamation or prediction. You see, in Matthew 16 now, just a little bit after the profession of Peter, Jesus predicts his passion, that is his death on the cross, his resurrection into new life, and his coming again. Matthew 16, verses 21 and the beginning of 27. I'll read it for us. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now verse 27. For the Son of Man, this is Jesus' favorite self-declaration, it's Jesus' favorite title for himself, the Son of Man, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And so, after Peter makes his declaration, Jesus then makes his prediction. You find it curious again? The timing? They climb up to the mountain with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus is transfigured into glory before them. Now these three see firsthand that Jesus isn't messing around when he says the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. And they see the glory of God as Jesus is transfigured. This is a passion prediction that Jesus would have to suffer and die and be raised from the dead. And also a parousia prediction. That's a big word from the Greek that literally means to be present. The parousia of Jesus is the second coming of Jesus. It's a Greek word to refer to the second coming of Christ. And Jesus is transfigured before them. The transfiguration. We can't smooth over this sucker anymore. The transfiguration must be preached and embraced by us, those who are Christ followers. Because the transfiguration proves the declaration of Peter that this is the Messiah. The transfiguration proves the prediction of Jesus that he would have to die on a cross and be raised 3 days thereafter, and that he will come again. And then lastly, the transfiguration proves God's proclamation. Actually, this is second to last. I baited you, sorry. I was going to go, and lastly, and then number four, in conclusion. The transfiguration proves God's proclamation. God, remember, you might know these words that come from the heavens when Jesus is transfigured. This isn't the first time Jesus has heard these words. This isn't the first time that God has said these words. Do you remember where God said these words about Jesus? This is my Son, whom I love, or my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Where did God speak that before? At the baptism of Jesus. Yet again, we hear a firsthand account, and it's witnessed by these three apostles, Peter, James, and John, this proclamation that this is the Son of God by God himself. My Son means that this Jesus is the God of the universe. Beloved means that he's in a relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is a Trinitarian, just like the baptism of Jesus, Trinitarian experience. And lastly, God says, with whom I am well pleased. He's pleased with the person of Jesus, and he's pleased with his work. So the transfiguration then proves Peter's declaration, Jesus' prediction, God's proclamation that this is my Son. And lastly, it proves humankind's inspiration. A voice from the cloud said, listen to him. Wow. This is pretty profound. We kind of smooth over it in Scripture. It would be easy to just walk past this one, not pay any attention to it. But here's the God of the universe saying to these disciples, these followers, and not only in the first century, but followers throughout time and history up until today, and we hear them for us. Listen to him. What does that mean? Listen to his teaching. Listen to his commands. Follow, listen by your actions to follow his actions. Do his works. God gives us a command in this declaration or proclamation. This is my son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is a command to these disciples and disciples of all time to listen to Jesus. So the transfiguration then is proof to us. Three eyewitnesses to the transfiguring of Jesus into glory. Three eyewitnesses that were precluded from speaking this truth until the Son of Man was raised. But they spoke this truth. It's recorded in all of the synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke. It's recorded in the epistles. In fact, as Kathy read for us this morning in 1 Peter, this is the account of Peter found here in 2 Peter, actually, chapter 1 and verses 16 through 21. And Peter himself, through his words, gives the transfiguration meaning. So, here's the point. If you've been paying attention, great. Heighten your attention. If your neighbor is asleep, give him a little jot with your elbow because it's time to pay attention if you haven't been. The purpose of the transfiguration is threefold, I think, as recorded here in 2 Peter. Number one, the transfiguration demonstrates Christ's glory. He received, says Peter, honor and glory from God the Father. Now, friends, we live in a day and age that exclaims to us, prove it. But the reality is that the transfiguration has already proven that Christ is the Messiah, the one who deserves God's honor and glory. Secondly, the transfiguration's purpose is to validate Christ's prophetic message. Verses 19 through 20, the Apostle Peter says, "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." You know, this is an interesting text because Peter is making the case that this proclamation about Jesus is true. And then lastly, the transfiguration communicates God's sovereign will. For, says Peter, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God. Friends, the transfiguration as an historic event proves Peter's declaration, Jesus' prediction, God's proclamation, and our humankind's inspiration. It demonstrates Christ's glory, validates Christ's prophetic message, and communicates God's sovereign will. So when somebody says to you about these things, prove it, you don't have to go to Snopes.com. You may want to go there just because it's kind of a crazy website. But you can declare to them, no, I know that Jesus is true, his person and his work, because God transformed him into glory in front of three eyewitnesses who prove Christ is indeed the Messiah. Amen. Please stand now, and together we'll sing our hymn.